God, we come to you together. We love you. We thank you that we can open up a book and know that the words that we read are your words. They're not just words, they're living and powerful. They cut inside us as if they were a sword. They expose us. They expose us to ourselves. You convict us when we read your word. You change us. You call us to yourself. You transform us. So God, as we read this morning your word together, I pray that you would do that. I pray, God, that you would transform us by your living and powerful word. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So, you ever thought about, or I was thinking about, maybe that's a better way to start. I was thinking about one of I wrote irony, but ever since that song in the 80s or 90s came out that Isn't It Ironic, and the singer listed a whole bunch of things that were ironic, but then everybody said those aren't true ironies, and I had never understood what irony is. This may not be ironic, but I'm going to say it. So one of the huge ironies of life is that on one hand, we want to be happy. So more than anything, we want to have belly laughs and just smile and feel like not worry about and not a care in the world, just like a little kid just running around. Just we would love to be happy. That's one hand. And on the other hand, we live in a broken world. So we're never going to be happy. We live in a place where bad things happen, where there's death and pandemics and sickness, and you lose your job and you lose your love and you lose family and we know bad things happen, but then like on a constant basis, you open up the news, maybe you look at it still on a screen, or you open it up on your phone, and it's bad. It's always, it's not like they're trying to make it worse than it is. It is bad. Bad things happen. The news emphasizes that for us. Our memories, our memories of our life and the things that have happened in the past, and the more life goes by, the more memories we have, they remind us that we've suffered, that bad things have happened to us. And what does that tell us? Bad things will happen to us. So I want to be happy, but bad things have happened and bad things will happen to me. And that makes us a bit cynical, doesn't it? It turns us into people who go through life just waiting, expecting for bad things to happen. I know something bad is going to, I just know it. Maybe this is a window into a broken soul and you're totally different. So if you are, congratulations, but let's say that you're not. You know that feeling when something good happens and you don't get to just fully enjoy it in the moment? You don't fully enjoy it because you're thinking about something, you know, you just have underlined, maybe not even consciously thinking about it, but if you thought about it in that moment, you would recognize an underlying conscious sense of dread that something bad's gonna happen. Everything's good today. I got the promotion, I got the thing. I hope it lasts. I wonder how long. Enjoy it while it lasts. That's the expression that just that brings out this sense of cynicism that I know something bad is going to happen. I know that life won't always be happy because it's not always been happy. Have you felt that? Do you know what that feels like? And isn't it true that just robs us of joy? That underlying feeling of today's a sunny day, but who knows what tomorrow's going to be like? I do. It's not going to be as good. Something bad is that robs us of joy as we expect bad things to happen. We're always in a state where we're mentally prepared. We're like in a perpetual state of I'm about to receive bad news. When my phone rings, I think if depending on who it is and what time it's, I never think, oh, that's going to be a good news. It's going to be a bad thing. It's not going to be a good thing. We're always prepared for that. Doesn't always happen. We're prepared for it though. And so what happens? We don't enjoy good moments. We don't fully suck all the life out of the good things that happen to us because we know they're not going to last. And so we can easily live in a state of, no one would say I'm a pessimist, but we kind of are just perpetually kind of pessimistic. We know things aren't going to, I knew that wasn't going to last. And today, I want us to see something. I want us to see hope, because our reality doesn't have to be like that. Our text today that we're going to look at 1 John. Oh, let me do a little detour. The clock doesn't work, so no one can stop my little detours. I don't think it does it? Is that the real time?
Yes.
Oh, well, then the clock is my ally in the detours because it's telling me I have all day, literally. So we're going to look at 1 John today. This is going to be, was going to be the start of a new series. We're going to go through 1 John. We still are, but then I'm a bit absent-minded. So as I was publishing this, the recorded version of this in Spanish for our people last night, I noticed that there were three messages still unwritten and unpreached from the last series that we stopped before the whole meeting in homes thing started. So there's an unfinished series that next week we're going to finish, and then we'll come back to 1 John. So just remember this, and we'll come back to this later. Sorry to do that to you. Look at 1 John chapter 1, and what we're going to see here in this text is something, it reveals something about Jesus that changes, can change our reality and the way we go through life completely. It can remove that cynicism, that cynical, just always expecting something bad is going to happen, enjoy it while it lasts kind of mentality, and we can replace it with perpetual joy. Look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest. We have seen it, testified to it, and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. He's talking about Jesus. And that's the big idea in these two verses and the three that follow it is this. Jesus is life. He is life. He brings life and he gives life. Jesus is life. That's what this is about. Life is the opposite of cynicism. Life is the opposite of feeling and knowing that something bad is going to happen and just that underlying negative feeling. Life is new. Life is good. Life is hope. It's the difference between being at a funeral or being at a wedding. And I know there's a risk in using this, not a wedding, a birth. That's what I meant to say. It was written here and I said the wrong word. I know there's a risk in using this example because some of us will immediately just remember a funeral and the despair and the sadness and the emptiness that goes along with that. But contrast that with, remember the last time you were at a hospital and because a baby was being born and you were there and it was whenever they let people come in and visit. So it was that day or the next day or we're in a culture where it's like that day, the baby gets born, mother gets cleaned up and like an hour later, everybody starts flowing in and you hold the baby and it's wonderful for everybody except I think the mother, but remember holding the baby? I know we haven't done that for a long time, but just remember back like 3 months when you could hold a newborn baby in your arms and the feeling that, the life. And unless you have to be really, really cynical, and I admit I'm kind of that person because I'll start getting teary-eyed thinking about all the bad stuff is going to happen to you. But if you're not that person, if you're just, you just live in that moment and you're like, oh, the smell, the new baby smell, it's life. It's beautiful. It's Jesus is life. He doesn't just give life. So don't miss. He does do that as well. And the text is going to go on and talk about the life that he gives us. And that's obviously the application. That's where it lands for us. But that's not the only thing it's saying. The big thing that it's saying is that Jesus is life. Not that he gives life, that he is life. That's what John is saying. Go back and read that. He was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest. The life was made manifest. We have seen it and testify it and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That's Jesus. Jesus is life. And John says, I can confirm this. I can confirm that life came into the world because I saw it and my hands touched him. And that life is a person. It's Jesus. He was with God and he became manifest to us and we've seen it. Not just me, everybody, the people that were with me, we all saw him and he was life. That Jesus being life, not just giving us life, but Jesus being life is one of the huge themes, I think, of John's teaching. Look at how he starts his other book, Big John, John, the Gospel of John. Look at John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Again, same language, the Word of life. Verse 2, he was in the beginning with God. He's a person. All things were made through him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. He is life, and life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Jesus is the being that is the essence of life. Who is the essence? That's a better way to say it. Who is the essence? In his person, he is a person, the person who is life. He's life. Why? Well, look at what John says in verse 3. This is Big John, John chapter 1, verse 3. He's always existed. He was with the Father in the beginning. He's always existed. And then look at verse 2. Look at verse 3 now. He's life because he created everything. Everything came from him. All life emanated from Jesus. All the best of what life is comes from him. Jesus is life. He made it. And even when he inhabited in his creation, even when he was and walked amongst us, and then people that he made took his life, he rose from the dead. Jesus is life, but he's not just life. He gives us life. Go back to 1 John now, 1 John chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 2 this time. So look at verse 2. He gives us the life, gives us life. And Jesus, I'm sorry, verse 2 says, the life was made manifest, and we have seen it, testified to it, and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father, was made manifest to us. And then look at how he transitions from he is life to you can have life. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. Jesus is life and he gives us life. He gives us life. He gives us true life. He gives us from his essence. When we are in him, we receive who and what he is, which is life. In him, we can have true life in this life and in the next life. We are not Christians who believe that life comes in Jesus later. Life comes now. Look at John chapter 10, Big John. I know we're flipping back and forth between them, so just keep your fingers in both of them. John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief comes, this is Satan, only to steal and kill and destroy. And then Jesus is talking, and look at what he says. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. So the life, so the Father is manifest to us. Life is a person. It's Jesus. And he came so that we could have abundant life. In Jesus, we find life. We receive what he is when we enter into him, when we give ourselves to him and we repent and are baptized, we receive life. How do we receive life through Jesus? Well, think, just count down the ways. We're born again when we enter into Jesus. We become a new person. We're literally born again. We become a new person. That's life. We're a new person, and he gives us a new heart. He takes out our heart of stone and gives us a heart of flesh. That's new. That's life. He takes the condemnation that we deserved, the wrath of God and the eternal punishment for our sin, for our rebellion against God, eternal death. He takes that off of us. That's life. He fills us with his Spirit. The Spirit of God inhabits us, is inside of us. That's life. He puts us in God's family. Now we're the beloved children of God. That's life. And then he promises us that he will raise us up from our tomb, that that death won't be our master. That's life. And then we'll spend all of eternity with God in his new creation. That is true life. And that is what Jesus gives to you and I when we enter into him. That's why John says, I proclaim this to you, claiming it to you. Why? Why would he proclaim it to them? Because I want you to have it. I want you to have the life that Jesus is, that Jesus is life and he gives this life. And now I'm going to proclaim that to you because I want you to have that. I want you to be with, well, go back and look at downside to using notes, right? Flip through pages. Okay. Go back and look at verse 3. What is he saying? We're proclaiming it to you. Why? So that, it even says the why, so that you may have fellowship with us, so you could be united with us. And then he says, it's not just about being united with Christ followers. It's that we're united with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So we proclaim this to you so that you can be united with Jesus, so that you can be united with the one who is life and with all who have received life from him. That's why I'm proclaiming it, so that you can be united to the Son and to the Father and you can have life. And then look at the last verse. We're writing these things. Depends on the version. So I have two versions that I use, they're literal translations, like this one that I use in English, two in Spanish. And one says, so that your joy may be complete. And one says, so that our joy may be complete. And I think I used to get hung up on that. Either way is right. Either way makes sense. There is life in Jesus. And when we're connected with Jesus, we are full of joy because we're full of life. See, when you're in Jesus and you have life, you can be full of joy. And if you raise your hand and say, I get that, but I'm a Christian and I don't live full of joy. I understand where you started. I understand the whole cynical kind of it, waiting for the other shoe to fall. You know, I'm waiting for something bad to happen. I know something. Whenever something good happens, I'm like, get a gift for Christmas. Hope it doesn't break. I know something bad is always going to happen. I get that. I'm a Christian. I don't get this joy. But it's not that we always have it, but we can have it. And that's probably the message of hope from this for you and I today, is that there is joy with the life that we get with Jesus. We get the life either way, but we don't always live in the joy that comes from that life. And that joy, that's in every moment, no matter what happens. I'm a dearly beloved child of God. And tomorrow will be better than today, even if it doesn't look better than today. The resurrection is going to come after my death. I'm full of life, and so that gives me joy. I can be happy in the middle of all circumstances. I can truly rejoice in all circumstances. Because I have abundant life inside of me, I will never die. Doesn't matter what happens. That's a joy that conquers the cynicism, being cynical and pessimistic and just not being happy as we go through life. It's joy that we have in Christ. It's joy because of the life that he gives us. So the question for you and I is, what should we do? What should we do? I think what we should do is we should set our focus on experiencing. We should set our desire, say, I want that. I want that. He wrote those things so that their joy would be complete. I want my joy to be complete. I want what John wanted for them. I want that for me. I want to have that life. I want to be connected with Jesus. And then I want to know that I do have life. I want to feel that in every moment of my day. And I want to be full of the joy that reality of the life that I have is supposed to give me. That's why he wrote this book. We'll get back to that in a month or so. That changes our life. That joy, that life can change our life. So if you're not a Christian, this is a, you should enter into Jesus moment. This is a give yourself to Jesus, repent and be baptized. And when you accept him as your Savior and Lord, what happens is you receive true life. And with that life comes profound and deep and no matter what is happening, always constant joy that you can have as you go through life because you have life. And in this community and this family, when you say, I'm ready to do that, I want life. I want to be in Jesus. Tell someone you can repent and be baptized. For those of us who are Christians, we have the life. So what do we have to do to live with the joy, to not go through life saying, hey, I wonder how long that'll last. How do we live with joy, the deep joy that we should have, that John says, you should have the joy. If you have the life, I want you to have the joy. How do we do that? I think for us, the key is this, reminding ourselves as we go through life of the life that we have inside of us, saying and repeating. I'm a big fan of these the kind of things, repeating to us. Especially as bad things happen, or even when it's kind of neutral, you wake up and the day is kind of neutral yet because nothing bad has happened. Just repeating to ourselves, I'm alive. I'm truly alive. God is in me. The Spirit of God is in me. I'm God's child. I'm forgiven. Heaven is waiting for me on the other side of death. I'm not going to stay dead. I'm going to rise from the dead. Tomorrow will always be better. I am in Jesus, and his life is in me, and God is my Father, and he loves me. Saying those kinds of things to ourselves is, listen, it's not positive. Be happy and be, it's saying what is true and reminding ourselves of what is true. And the more we do that, the more I think God's peace and joy fills us. And we're able to live with the joy that comes from being alive in Christ. And we're able to thank him. We're able to worship as we go about our days. Maybe we start spontaneously breaking into song more often because I'm remembering that I'm alive and God's Spirit is in me and he loves me and he's my Father and I have life. And then I sing to him because he's the one who saved me. That's why we come together and we remember the cross together. That's why every time on Sunday mornings we come together, we remember the cross. Why do we do that? Because of the cross, because of what Jesus did on the cross, that we're able to enter into life. And that truly is one of the greatest ironies. And I think I'm using the word right this time. One of the greatest ironies of the whole universe is that through Jesus' death, you and I are able to enter into the life that he is. So now, if you're holding in your hands a little thing of bread and a little thing of juice, and after we pray, and as your teeth break that bread, that's why we think about those moments, Jesus' body being broken. And we pray, and then we feel that you feel the juice going, flowing down your throat. That's why we remember Jesus' blood flowing down to the ground. This is a moment for us to think about his sacrifice, and not just his death, but the life that comes to us, the life that we're able to have today because of his death. It's a solemn moment. It's a moment to worship, and it's a moment to thank him. Jesus, we do that. We thank you. We thank you because you, through your death, give us life. You who are life. Let that be taken away from you for a moment. And as you died, you took the Father's wrath upon yourself. You opened up a door for us to have life in you, to become fully alive. And together, God, as your family, we repent because we don't fully live with the joy that we should have, the deep, abiding, profound joy that we should always have because of the life that we have in you. And we ask you, God, humbly, help us feel that joy. Fill us with your joy. Fill us with through your Spirit with a joy and with the overwhelming, bubbling over sense of, I can't believe I'm alive. I can't believe that no matter what happens, it only gets better for me later. It only gets better. I'm God's child. And as we live in that joy, we thank you for the cross that made that possible for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.